listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten.
Well, welcome back to Don't Mention the Puss Ball. This is episode 40, I believe. A lot has gone on since we last produced an episode. We've got, 5 games to talk about, plus a load of stuff just to wrap up the end of the season and the normal kind of random waffling that we do usually. So together with us today, we've got Patrick from Canada and Marcus. Hi. over in Berlin. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
What's up, guys?
So I guess we'll sort of, kick off with the first game that we haven't rabbled on about, which was against Dortmund. Any thoughts about that one?
Well, I mean, honestly, personally, I expected a loss. I think the biggest question was how would we look during that defeat? And from my memory, I think it was all things considered, I think it was a decent performance.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting to get hammered a bit, really, to be honest. Coming away with just one goal down was quite a positive experience in the end of it all.
Go ahead.
We sort of came out quite well with the ghost games at the start, and we got some sort of quite good results and what have you, and that was never going to last forevermore. If that was going to be the start of the downturn, I didn't think it was too bad a one.
That's true. Well, I mean, the thing is, of course, it would be silly to complain about a streak of victories like what we got when Labbadia arrived, but maybe that skewed our expectations, and people started talking about the Europa League and stuff. So, maybe we should pump the brakes a little bit. Yeah.
To be fair, admittedly, it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I dragged out one of my, Europa, we are coming t-shirts. So I really liked that t-shirt. It was a really nice, stylish t-shirt. I thought it was a very good one. But I put it on for just a bit of a joke, not really thinking it was going to happen. But, hey, and I was right.
So next up we had the game against Frankfurt. It was a 4-1 loss. We were up 1-0 for the first 45 minutes, and then Boyata got sent off, and then it all went to shit.
Yeah, that would do it. I remember beforehand, various people sort of speculating that, we need to sort of do quite well against, Frankfurt and Freiburg, and then you might be in with a chance of Europe. Well, the ideas of Europe went out the window as soon as that game happened. Well, as Boyata got, as soon as he got sent off, then. Yeah,
because if I remember, Marcos, I don't know if you remember that game specifically, but until Boyata got sent off, I mean, I wouldn't say we were in control, but we were doing really fine, right?
Really? Did you have this impression? I really had the feeling the whole time, like, because Boyata, he got sent off like in a 40th minute or something like this?
Yes, 46th, yes.
46th, okay. So I had the whole first half time, I had already the impression that actually Frankfurt was much bossier on the pitch.
Oh, really?
much more aggressive and much more like physical presence than we were.
Okay.
But then every little hope that I had for the rest of the game, it got killed by Boyata's getting sent out. And so, and then after the second half was worse.
I might be wrong, actually. I would need to look deeper into the stats, but maybe my memory is just shit. But please continue. I cut you off, Marcus.
No, I was just saying, I I was one of the guys saying Europa League will come in as well.
Yes.
I was really dreaming about Europa League, and then this game, I was such in a bad mood after this game, because it's really like, now it's gone, now my dream is gone of having Europa League, because after this game it was on it theoretically.
It was great the last time we were in the Europa League. I mean, going to Bilbao and things was a great trip. But, you know, bearing in mind, as it stands at the moment, we can't even go to home games. The attraction of Europe is not quite so strong, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, let's take care of the walls inside the house before we start thinking about, you know, the pool outside, you know?
Absolutely. Yes. Let's get a roof on first, eh?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. After that, we got Freiburg. A 2-1 defeat. I don't remember I think I missed most of that game, so I couldn't really comment on it. Any insight?
Yeah, well, that game in my memory was very even. So Hertha and Freiburg, they were like pretty even in strength. So it was more of a 2-2 game or a 1-1 game, but then Freiburg won just because they were just this little bit better, but it could have been a draw as well. That was my memory, but it's far away again.
Yeah, I mean, shots on goal, pretty much even. Possession, same thing. We fouled them a lot more, and we got two yellows.
Let me guess, what's one of those, Gruch?
I don't know, but that's quite possible.
Pretty good chance.
Yes, no doubt. Okay, so...
My mood was... That, My mood. Sorry, I need to talk about my mood.
No, sure, please.
My mood was not that bad after this game because like after this game, before this game, I knew already that Europa League was gone. So this game was more like an additional downer, but it was not so such a bad mood anymore. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I need to feel. Have to think. No. I need to talk about my mood.
No, yeah, please. Mm. That's what this podcast is for.
Talk about
rant away.
It's away more about feelings, I think, than facts and figures.
Well,
I think our dear listeners have probably gathered that by now.
Yeah, they're probably used to it. And I mean, DMTF could be do mention the feelings or something.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, we got Hertha, oh yeah, the next to last game of the season, Hertha against Leverkusen, that was at the Olympiastadion. That was a really pleasant surprise, that game.
It was.
2-0 win.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah.
And Cunha on a nice individual effort, if I remember, at the 22nd minute, and Luke Bacchio at the 54th minute. Solid win. And we probably, I don't remember if Leverkusen... are they good for Europa League, Leverkusen, or did they miss out?
They missed for one or two points because at the last game, they were still in the race against Gladbach or Leverkusen. One of the two teams should reach the Champions League. And then because we won against Leverkusen, Gladbach was in front of qualifying for the Champions League and Leverkusen did not. Yeah, because Leverkusen had a lot of points, but only reached Europa League, which was kind of surprising.
Right. So we doubly screwed over Leverkusen by beating them and then losing against Gladbach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oops.
Oh my God, wow.
In this game, there was this beautiful goal by Cunha. I think it was in this game. This is one of the most elegant goals I ever saw. Like he took the ball on one, like he stopped the ball with one leg and shot immediately without changing position. That was so like a ballet dancer or something like this. Wow.
He's a remarkable player.
Yes.
What he's doing at Hertha, I don't know, but it's quite nice.
I hope he gets to stay for at least another season. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, pessimistic, but hopefully no one will, swoop in this summer and,
I don't know whether he's got a clause in his contract, you know, like a sort of get out clause where you can pay a certain amount and somebody can just steal him.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I just don't know. If he carries on like he's done so far, then one of the big players might, you know, team players that is, might come along and just snap him up. We'll see.
Yes,
but at the moment we don't have the need of selling someone, so which is very good.
That's true.
We can keep him. Yeah. And
money is good at the moment. That's true. And that's another topic I wanted to talk about afterwards. Some new money coming in, we can talk about that in a few minutes. Last game of the season, Mönchengladbach 2, Hertha 1, the final game of the season.
Yeah.
And now I remember that game. Shots were 18-3. It's like Hertha didn't have anything to play for, unlike Gladbach. So that must have been a factor. Yeah, they forgot there was a game that day, you know. it was bad. It could have been like 5-1 easy.
Yeah,
I mean, it did get better because I think they was it a double or a triple change at one point. I think it was. I can't remember exactly when it was, but they seemed to be a lot better after those changes were made.
I think you're right.
I've forgotten who it was that was put on. Now, but I think it was like a triple change, you know, sort of like a major sort of tactical change around. But it was still, you know, not enough. They looked stronger for a little bit, and then it all sort of just petered out.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that game is playing Smarsh in goal, because Jahrstein was having his, I think it's his third child, isn't it? I think it was.
Yes, that's true.
And Kraft, I think he's retiring, isn't he? Or he's going anyway. Yes. So Smarsh had a go. He had a decent whack at it. Obviously he let a couple of goals in, but he made a decent fist of it, really. I mean, one of the goals, he got a bit sort of wrong sighted. I think it was this one.
Hoffman at the 7th minute and Embolo at the 78th minute.
I think one of them, I can't remember, I think it was the first one that was after sort of, you know, 7th or 8th minute or whatever. I think it was Esfine that was there in front of the goal, got nutmegged. So the ball went through his legs and Smarsh really couldn't properly seen where it was coming from. So I wouldn't say he was completely blameless, but... Yeah, that's sort of a pretty good excuse there. It's never easy if it's coming through your defender's legs like that.
Marcus, go ahead.
No, just was adding or finishing sentences like it was not his fault. It was not Smarsh's fault that we lost.
Absolutely.
Like we didn't perform on different other levels. Yeah.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, I think the general feeling was he did okay, really. Yes. Sort of coming in as a sort of third place keeper. Yeah, we lost, but it wasn't his doing.
That happens sometimes, and it does. Also about Esvine, there was another sequence. I don't know when it was exactly during the game. I don't remember, but he got. I think he almost kicked the ball to an opponent, and it led to a really good scoring chance. And somehow they didn't score. And when the ball went out of play, you could see like Esvine kind of, you know, laughing it off, like, you know, what can I do? You know?
And not do something stupid.
Exactly. And at that point, and I know that Jan told me the same thing afterwards. At that point, I said, everybody knew that Esvine was going to leave the club after this season. And at that moment, I said, all right, you can fuck right off, go to, you know, Estonia if you want. I don't give a shit. Just never play for Hertha again. Just fuck off, please. That was a really...
I think that one's covered now. He's gone.
Yeah, but on the other side, he's a very good guy, and he had a few congenial moments, but he's just not really like probably he's not helping us anymore in the in the future aspirations what we have as a big city club.
Apparently he is in training. He is really good, apparently. I don't know where I heard that, but yeah, apparently he's a monster in training. But yeah, you know, that doesn't count, so
no. Allegedly that happens sometimes. Not that I would know anything, really, but you know, people can perform really well in training, but when it comes to actually going out on the pitch, especially if you're going out on the pitch in front of a crowd, then it never really quite works. And probably, I'm sure in some cases, vice versa, that people don't sort of do so much on training, and that, but once they sort of get into that atmosphere of being out in the game, they can sort of pull it out of the bag. So in his case, he's the former, it seems.
Yeah, for sure.
And I also heard about, like, Essien, he has a very good standing within the team, mm-hmm. just because he is how he is. And he's also been the one when there was this issue with Kalou and Klinsmann and Essien. Essien was also one of the guys who Klinsmann did not like. So there was actually the whole team who said, please, you have to bring back Kalou and Essien because we think that that's a very good team. So the team actually approached Klinsmann to bring back Kalou and Essien. Because apparently he seems to be a good guy. Like, he makes fun, and thus he's just not like the Essias, how somebody said, or Lionel Essie.
that's a good one. All right, so that covers the remaining games. So I guess Hertha finished 10th in the table, which was, I think it was kind of the original prediction. I mean, I remember that thought that they would finish, you know, mid-table, but Hertha being Hertha, they made it as entertaining as possible, you know, relegation fight, and then...
It was a crazy season in all sorts of ways, but never a dull moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But 10th place, I think we ought to have booked. I think we've got it blanket booked for the next sort of 20 years, I think. We, you know, what will happen is we'll go up and down and all that, but we will end in 10th. There's worse places to be.
Absolutely.
But don't forget that place 10 is the champion of the second half of the table.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So we're actually the FC Bayern of the second half of the table, because we're always having, since years.
Do we get a trophy?
Yes. We're going to pick it to the next season. That's all we get.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So that covers it. So we can talk about a few additional topics if you want. Main departures, I don't have a list, but I think the biggest one is Sherbret.
He'll be missed.
Yes, for sure. I heard somewhere that Touza, the guy from Lyon, was going to replace him. Is that it, or was it, or did I, am I misremembering? I'm not even sure if they play the same position.
Oh, so no. There's a guy that's already at Hertha, but he's been off injured, and I've forgotten his name for the life of me now. Yes, that's the one. Mm-hmm. The plan was that he was going to sort of fill in this space for Shelbred. I thought, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, which guy? Askasibar, the Argentinian.
Yes, that's the
young guy.
That's it. Yeah. My bad.
Because Touza has been taken more for replacing Grujic in some way, because he's more attacking center midfielder. Rather, he can also play in the six. That's what they say.
Like, is he good at picking up yellow cards as well?
Who knows?
I think that's Grujic's main job in Hertha.
Oh my God! Yeah,
to get one yellow card every game,
and he was great at it.
He was
really good at it.
He really smashed it. He did.
Do you think the Druids will come back? What's your opinion about it? Because it's everything open. He will not play. He will not play a role in Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool doesn't need him at all. I don't know. It's a good question, but I mean, of course, I wouldn't mind if he came back, but I wouldn't mind if he left either. So I'm completely, especially now that we have a replacement for him.
When he first came in, he did some sort of useful stuff.
He did really well.
Yeah,
I don't know. He regressed over time. He stopped being disciplined. I don't know. No?
You sort of wonder whether all the sort of trauma of sort of miscellaneous managers and things probably perhaps didn't do him any favours, maybe.
Possible.
I don't know. To be fair, he was sort of battling away there, and he certainly got stuck in, perhaps a little bit too hard on occasions, but it's not as if he was sort of just sitting back and not doing anything. It would have been nice to see him, producing some sort of better attacking play, but hey.
It's really weird because he had a really good start. You know, I remember that he had a string of games that, he was, dominant almost. Mm. It was, and it's frustrating to see a guy I don't know. He stopped. I don't know if it's because of the coaching, but he stopped improving or something. Or maybe they started asking him to do something that he wasn't comfortable with. I have no idea.
No, we'll probably never know, will we?
But he still has his good games. So he never, like, that what he did in the first half season when he was with us. Like, he never reached that level anymore, because that half season when Dada said, like, this is upper shelf where Hertha is usually not getting players like this. But then actually after that he didn't play so well anymore. But he got back on. I think last season was not so bad. Like, he had his good games as well, but he was not so dominant anymore like the first half season.
So. That's true. And also, who else? Pekarik signed a new contract, I think. So he is staying. Mm-hmm.
Okay. One more year. Yeah.
Yes. Ibisevic, we don't know yet. I think it depends on whether Bremen stays up or not, or exactly. And if Zelka stays.
Yeah,
I think I would rather keep Ibisevic than have Zelka back, to be honest, personally.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully he stays. And
But I think it's a bit like Preetz is a poker player. You know, I think when Werder Bremen goes down now into the second league and Zelka has to come back, I don't think that Preetz wants to keep Zelka, so he wants to sell him. And then if everybody knows, yeah, but Ibisevic just signed for one more year, then they want to get rid of Zelka, of course. But, and then they say, okay, then we'll get Zelka for 500,000 or so. But if we still don't have Ibisevic, they might think, okay, they still need Zelka, so they want to ask for more money. You understand my thought? It's explained a bit bad, but think it's
okay, yeah.
playing poker a bit with value.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still, I'm guessing that Ibisevic wants to stay as well. I mean, he had like a resurgence of his career under Labbadia, so.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. Hopefully. Who else? Kalou? How long was that Facebook Live video? Was it like 5 minutes or something? I don't remember.
No, longer. It was 15 minutes, 50, 20 minutes or so. Okay. Yeah, it was a very long story. He started already in the car, and then he went in, and then he went
in the dressing room,
and then like it was a whole like a long sequence. Yeah.
I think I must have only seen a little bit of it.
Yeah,
the worst part was in the dressing room when she was talking about having his salary cut because of the pandemic or something. I think that was the part that was shown the most often. But Kalou gone in 20 minutes in a 20-minute guided tour of a stadium.
Yeah.
We know where he will play next? Maybe MLS or something?
No, there is a rumor. I think it's actually pretty concrete already. He goes to Brazil.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. I don't remember the club of the name of the club. It's one of the.
I think I heard something about that too. Now that you mention it.
Yeah. But, I mean, his girlfriend is Brazilian, so it makes sense. And he did not take part to the bye bye party.
Okay.
Officially, it's because he still feels bad about what he did, and he doesn't want to show himself in public, which is nice. But what I think he shouldn't feel bad about that. I mean, okay, it was stupid what he did, but still, don't we love him all? Don't we all love him?
And he had a few great seasons with the club.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
I mean, personally, you're absolutely right. I mean, what he did was really stupid, but that doesn't.
We all do stupid things sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. that doesn't.
Yes, you too. I'm sure. me.
the Brazilian club was a Botafogo.
Ah, yeah.
Well, that's it.
It's from Buenos Aires, from the Brasilia? Capital. Ah, no, not the real capital, but like the cultural capital. What's the?
Oh, okay.
São Paulo. São Paulo.
Oh, okay.
Or Rio.
I think São Paulo is the real capital, isn't it? And Rio is sort of, you know, the buzz kind of place, like Washington, yes, and New York. I thought, but I don't know.
I think Brasilia was built from nowhere, basically in the 50s or 60s or something. Mm-hmm. All the government buildings are there.
Yeah.
But it's like only the capital, only in name, basically.
All right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, São Paulo is the biggest one. It's the biggest city, isn't it? I thought.
In terms of population, I think so, yes. I think so. Yeah. It's like third or fifth biggest city in the world or something.
Ouch.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, but we are an educational podcast, so we should also talk about these things.
Of course. And were there any other departures that's worth mentioning? Well, Esvine, but enough about him already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who else?
Maybe one Croft. Thing about
Croft is going. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He's retiring. And Jahrstein maybe, but, you know, we'll see. But yeah, Marcus, you were going to say something?
I just want to say one thing more about Gruitch. He said that Hertha is his club, and that makes me really, then I get really weak, and then I think, oh, well, then maybe he shouldn't go. But of course, I'm not praised, and I don't have to. But, you know, if he says these things, then I get very, very weak and very...
As a backup to Tuzá, I would have no problem with Grujic.
Me actually neither. But he has been... Mönchengladbach seemed to be interested in him, which is kind of interesting. Okay. And which could be one next level for him, because, of course, it's interesting for him as a lone player from Liverpool to get Champions League experience. Because I think Liverpool is still believe in his qualities, because he is actually good. He just doesn't show it so good at the moment. So probably it makes sense to give him 1 year more loan in a squad which plays Champions League.
That's a really good point.
It would make sense for him. Yes. You know, for his sort of career development, to be able to do something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Sadbach aren't a big city club, I know, but
but they are a higher result club.
They are.
Higher spot in the table club.
I really loved about Sadbach. Sadbach. I never came on something like that. And I didn't understand it in Italy, so.
All right, so okay, that's it for departures, pretty much, I think. Let's assume that it is, and if someone else comes to mind, we can always
yeah
it's a big
go back.
There's no timeline here.
Nope. No structure either.
No. Randomies.
All right. So the next talking point would be, and of course, you know, I admit I didn't prepare for this as well as I should have. But I mean, first name that comes to mind, maybe we can do something with that. In your opinion, which player improved the most under Labbadia?
Pekarek.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He came out of nowhere, didn't he?
Absolutely.
He was dead and buried, and yet suddenly he came on and did good things. Good call.
Yeah, great shot. Absolutely. So,
because he played no role the whole, like, also last year he didn't play a role, and he came out and, like, really performed super.
He almost forgot he existed, because you saw him so little, and yet he came on and he played a major role.
I thought he was injured at some point. I thought he was like long-term injury or something, and we wouldn't see him again this season or something. But no. That's a great shout. He played really well under Labbadia. And my answer would be Ibisevic, right?
Yes, he had a bit of a renaissance there.
Yes, yeah.
Definitely.
Not that he was horrible before, but he, you know, kicked it up a notch after when the season restarted. All right. Yeah. And
maybe something more on Ibisevic. It's a bit funny, or I mean, this season, like, raised many thoughts about many things. But like Klinsmann, it seems to me like also Klinsmann and Jovic and Nuri, they somehow try to reinforce an youngerization, a youthization. You know, they wanted Selke to play, they wanted the young guys to play, and they relied out of ideological reason. I always had the feeling that Ibisevic is not playing due to ideological reasons, just because Selke is younger, he has to play, and Klinsmann has this younger guys that needs to play. And then just he comes out of, like, and then Labbadia has his other approach that he, with him, the guys play who are the best ones.
Or at least
now. And then it was Ibisevic.
It's not really a radical idea, that, though, is it? Really?
I was very happy for him, because I like Ibisevic, and, you know, this old man with this grey hair, and not as grey as we are, but still, like, he comes out and scores.
So who do you think, like, the opposite end of the of that spectrum, who do you think regressed the most under Labbadia? Who disappeared? Was there someone who was doing really well under Jovic and or Klinsmann, and then vanished when Labbadia arrived? Does anyone come to mind?
Just trying to think of somebody that did well.
Yeah, not many people were doing well anyway, right?
not since you'd noticed, no.
Yeah, I mean, that's the example with Klünter, which plays no role anymore, but it's not that he was very, very good in the beginning of the season, so he just... But he disappeared somewhere.
Leaving as well? I read somewhere that he was going to leave.
Yeah, I think he might not be happy. Because, like, if Pekarek signed for another season, and Labbadia and Pace already said that we are going to get a right back. Do you call it right back? Like right defender?
Yes.
So that means for Klünter, he will probably be third choice. And I think he feels too good to be third choice. And probably he's also too good for third choice. Or I would feel as well. So, he might go out of frustration.
Leave the club, yeah. Well, that would make sense for him, I guess.
I have not so much opinion about Klünter. I liked him. And actually, he
was okay.
He wasn't bad. I mean,
you know, he didn't make me, yell at my screen the way Mustafi at Arsenal would, for example. But I didn't have a problem with him.
And he had some very good games where he was the only one actually performing well, because he was also attacking and doing how do you call it, crosses, or how do you call them?
Yes.
But I don't know what's up with him.
So what would you think are the positions where we need the most help for next season? let's say, you know, three priorities, let's say, for three positions that, okay, we need to be better there. Goalkeeper. I mean, I love Jahrstein, but there was too many clunkers.
He's gone off the boil, hasn't he? I think he's not what he was. I don't know what happened.
It's a shame. It's a shame. He was amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
But he
kept us afloat for years.
Yes.
With some pretty remarkable goalkeeping, but for whatever reason, he's not what he was.
Maybe like. I don't know, maybe it was not his first kid, but maybe the pregnancy was difficult this time around and maybe she wasn't focused, or, you know, there could be a million reasons, but if we focus on the results and what's going on the pitch, I think we need an upgrade there. And I think, was there the goalkeeper from Freiburg that was rumored to join next season?
Yeah.
I forgot his name.
I also forgot his name. Schwolo, that's Freiburg, yeah. But I think more concrete was the keeper of VfB Stuttgart, who's actually on loan in Stuttgart from Hoffenheim. I think that one is actually the one most people were talking about. But I would like Schwolo. Schwolo is...
He's better?
I don't know, I like him.
You know? Okay. Emotion.
It's those feelings coming back in again.
Yes, exactly. So, besides goalkeeper, what would be the priority? Which one do you think, which position should be a priority?
You want Simon?
I think, you know, we could do with some more sort of definite attacking people in the sort of in the backs, not in the centres, but I mean, you've got Plattenhardt and what have you, who does good crosses and what have you, but he's not always terribly good at sort of, you know, screaming up the touchline to get onto the flanks to be able to sort of put those crosses in. He's not perhaps as mobile as he could be. You know, whether we could get anybody that could improve on that, I don't know, because you want to be able to, you know, have people that will put people like sort of Cunha and Piątek into a position where they can, you know, sort of, you know, do something in the middle of the pitch. But that's just me. I don't know what I'm talking about. Mm. So.
I agree.
I'm a 4-2-3-1 person. Mm-hmm. I always like this system because to me it makes a lot of sense.
I am more of a dog person, but that's just me. Okay, sorry.
And one part of the squad where we have a problem since many, many years is the attacking wings. And although we have Jairo Dilrosun, which is actually a good guy, but he's not constant as good as, for example, Cunha showed to be now, you know. So and Cunha is, even if he plays on the left wing at the moment, I don't think that's the position which he is designed to play on, at least I think, because I always thought he's like a 10 or a central striker or you know, like somebody more in the center, but I might be wrong, maybe he's a winger. So if we only have Jairo Dilrosun, so as backup, you have Maxi Mittelstädt sometimes.
Yes.
I like Maxi, but actually he's a funny hybrid of being actually a left back defender and can play the offensive part as well. But he's not a goal scorer, but he makes these beautiful crossings, like this precise crossings on the head of Ibisevic. And he did that a few times already, and they're so beautiful to see. But he's not a classical winger, you know, like Dilrosun, who...
That's true.
Went straight ahead and shot a goal, yes. You know, like these kind of actions. Mitchell doesn't do them. So, and on both sides, because on the other side we have Dodi Lukebakio now, and he's good. I mean, he's not as good as we expected, but he's a very good player. But then after him we have nobody. I mean, if Lukebakio doesn't play, who is there? Well, Esfain.
Oops.
Lionel Essie.
Icebind.
Ice
All right.
So yeah, well, wingers. I would like left winger and right winger. left winger.
Okay.
They call it left wing or right wing?
Yes. All right. So what else? Another. Was there anything else to add on this topic, or you guys are?
I don't understand why everybody like also Labbadia and Preetz and everybody seems to want another striker, and I'm mm-hmm. a bit surprised about that because I think we have plenty of strikers. Like
I read about that as well, actually, and I wasn't sure what to think of about that.
Well, there's a limit to how many you can play. I mean, if Ibisevic stays and you've got Piontek, and you've got sort of Cunha sort of, you know, hovering around in behind there.
It should be enough.
You would think so. You want people to be able to sort of get the ball to those guys so that they can can do their thing. That's what we probably, I mean, in my humble opinion, that's what I think we sort of need more of, rather than out-and-out strikers. People that can actually sort of, playmaker, if you like, that can actually sort of, you know, do some magical stuff and get the ball where it's needed.
Maybe Draxler or Goetze. I heard those two names. I mean, honestly, I don't think it would be a good idea.
No, me neither. But I don't think they're coming. I don't think that.
No, I mean, why would they? Unless they throw them, you know, heaps of money, more than other teams would. I don't see why they would come here, to be honest.
No.
And that brings us to... No, sir, go ahead.
No, I just also wanted to say, I mean, Goetze is more of a 10. He's not a striker in that sense. And Draxler is actually, isn't he a left winger? I think. But then coming back to the strikers, I wouldn't know which striker would come to, like, which good expensive striker would come to us if we have Ibisevic, Cunha, and Piontek. I mean, they are all three basically like potential first starting 11 players. So who would have interest? And we still have Köpke.
And Zeke. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, okay. Next topic. Okay. The youth team, like the academy. How would you? And that may be a difficult question without any preparation. But how do you think it is, as opposed to other teams in the league? Like, do we have the best, one of the best youth teams in the entire Bundesliga? Or are we getting there? What do you say?
Well, we've had quite a stream of sort of young players coming up through the academy, haven't we, that are showing a lot of promise at the moment. How we compare to, you know, the academies of other teams, I don't really know enough about those other teams to be able to say.
It's a difficult question. I wasn't sure about it.
But we've had some good people coming up through, and it's always nice to see that people that have come up through the whole system. You know, people like Torunariga and what have you that have sort of come up through,
absolutely.
And they're doing really sort of good things with the main team now. It's always nice to see that, rather than having some sort of talent that's come from somewhere else and just, you know, spending lots of money to lure them into Berlin.
And then moving on, but after the restart of the league, the resumption of the league, now with the five subs, that was a good chance to play more kids, more youngsters, not kids, but you know. And there was two that stood out. I think in my mind, one of them was Enkamp was God. What's his name?
Jessica Nguncom.
Yes, that's it. I thought he did really well, and I think the next one that's supposed to be really well as really good as well was Zamarcic. Is that it?
Yeah, Zamarcic, Lazar.
Yes.
Zamarcic.
Yeah.
These are the ones.
I'm horrible with names today.
Oh yeah. Patrick.
Patrick. Yes, exactly. Patrick.
Yeah, Jan, he really loves both of them, especially in Gankam, so he's really a fan of them. I never saw him before, but he shot many, many goals in the U19. Was it the U19 or the U23? U19, I think. But he had really, like, these two times he played, like, he really made a change when he entered the pitch. And he has this really, like, this physical presence, and he's not impressed by these star players. I think actually, didn't he join in Dortmund or against Leipzig, and he just came in and didn't care about all the stars. He just did his thing, and I really like this attitude. He came in, he's the youngest one, but he's really a physical presence. I don't know if he's technically good, but he has a physical presence, like an animal.
that's a really good thing, and that's really
a beast.
That's really important to have, especially maybe even more if you're a younger player, because that shows that you are not intimidated by the other guys around you. Like, I belong here as much as you, and I can, you know, I can stand up to you, no matter what. So that's good. All right. So we have a few listener questions, actually. Ooh. Unless there was something else, or
no, I just thought, do we want to speak about Köpke? I mean, does he have a future with us? Probably not, does he?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think if the team had plans for him, I think we would have seen more of him in the last games of the season.
Yeah, I think. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because his other games, like he played with Klinsmann, he played a few times, and that seemed, again, ideologically, like give a young guy the chance instead of Ibisevic. So, maybe one player who has been named. I don't know. Do you want to speak about speculations? I always like to do
that.
Sure.
Go ahead.
It's actually made the round yesterday or today. Schalke's McKennie. He seems to be interested because he wants to leave Schalke. Because Schalke.
Sorry. Unfortunately,
I like this so much that I lose my air.
It's news when somebody wants to stay.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even play for them, and I want to leave. You know.
Gelsenkirchen. Schalke has a real problem now with Corona and with Tönnies and his whole. I mean, they have a huge financial problems, and the state of Nordrhein-Westfalen, like NRW, that's also where Gelsenkirchen is. They want to give them a loan of 40 million. No, it's not a loan, but like guarantees, or how do you call it?
Guaranteed loan.
Guarantee loan of and a Bürgschaft. What's a Bürgschaft? It's a kind of like they stand in with 40 million to the bank if the bank gives them 40 million. So the state
they're acting as the guarantor to a loan from the bank.
The guarantor, okay, for Schalke. And they have problems, and they said yesterday in the media or the day before that they are going to cancel Champions League and Europa League ambitions for the next, I don't know, 5 years or something like this, and because they have to save money, so they're not going to buy any expensive players anymore, and they rely on selling people.
5 years?
Yeah, 5 years, or was it 10 years or something like that?
That's a massive commitment, isn't it, for a club like that?
And that's the reason McKennie wants to go to Hertha, because we.
Big city club.
Absolutely. Big city club.
I'm looking him up right now. He's a midfielder, American. I knew that. He's only 21.
Yeah,
which is cool. He's been with Schalke for the last since 2017. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I mean, he's welcome.
He will cost about 25. Million, that's what Schalke is in media, what they want to have.
That's seems reasonable nowadays. I mean, with the COVID and all that stuff, we are not sure what the market is going to look like in the next few months, but that doesn't seem outrageous for per price.
Yeah, but he's not a winger. I want a winger.
Yeah.
Two wingers. I don't understand midfield as well, because Labbadia he's a fan of the 4-3-3, and as I said, I'm a 4-2-3-1 person, and I don't understand then this midfield position so well. Okay, you have a single six and you have 2-8 position, or what is it? I don't really understand. I mean, then it's a 4-1-2-3-1 system. I don't really like the midfield. I don't really understand it, because you can't have like three defensive midfielders.
Yeah, there was this talk of a diamond midfield or something. Am I misremembering?
Oh, gosh.
Or am I thinking of another club?
But isn't that 4-4-2? Because diamond is, I think, 4.
Oh my God, I'm sure that there are some people listening to this in front of their computer who must be screaming right now and telling us, you fucking idiots, you don't know anything.
No, well, yeah, come on, I hold my hands up, I know nothing. At least I'm honest about it.
Oh God, sorry. Oh yeah.
We're talking about geometry, it's not football.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Apologies to anybody that actually knows something about football.
All right, so I wanted to mention like a really brief little thing. As we know, Bayern won its 8th Bundesliga title in a row. Okay, that we know this is we know it's shit, you know, and it's not good for the league either, in my opinion. But I saw something in the, I think it was in the Der Spiegel, maybe the guy's, I forgot his name, but the guy's opinion was, in a COVID, from a COVID point of view, it was a good thing, because it was so normal that there would be no crowd gatherings outside to celebrate. And from that point of view, it was a good thing.
Yeah,
and absolutely. It,
I agree. I
didn't
agree.
Work and out I, like that in England with Liverpool winning.
No. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was 30 years that they they last won. So.
But I was thinking about the crowds out in the street and things that night. There were flares going off. The huge, great gatherings of people. It was all of it crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, and it's not a good idea to do that, but that had to be expected. Like, they would have had to, you know, declare a curfew.
It wasn't a surprise. It just, especially in a city like Liverpool, it was going to happen. But hey, you know,
it wasn't a surprise in for the Bundesliga either, because like for the past 8 years, I mean, Dortmund cannot help, you know, stepping on their own dicks and fucking it up, finding new ways to fuck it up. And everyone else is like a clearly a level below. So we are stuck with Bayern for the next. And those assholes, they bought Leroy Sané as well from Manchester City, only to, you know, pile it on. And there was someone in the WhatsApp group, I think his name was Mike. He called them Bayern. By apostrophe by. E-M.
I thought it was
pretty good.
Yeah, that was quite good.
So, shout out to Mike and to the WhatsApp group. And speaking of a WhatsApp group, we can go back to the listener questions. We do have a few. I think Simon, someone on Twitter, I forgot who asked who would win in a fight between you and Jan.
And I said, yeah, Jan, because he's bigger than me and he fights dirty.
that works.
Who asked this question?
Someone on
it
Twitter.
It was Brian, wasn't it? I assume it was him. It was somebody from North American.
Yes, yeah, it definitely was, because someone else on Twitter said something like, thank you for, you know, doing this podcast and all that. And I wasn't sure if it was him who asked the question at the same time. But yeah, you're right. It was Brian. Absolutely. So yeah, that was a good question. I mean, if people want to, you know, ask us, you know, goofy questions, go ahead. I mean, this is the podcast for it, you know.
goofy questions, and more importantly, goofy answers. We're very good at.
And speaking of Brian, in the WhatsApp group, he was asking, should Brits be kept on the team? Should he stay? And someone else said, JT from the WhatsApp group, I think you guys know him, said more like, why shouldn't he stay? So we can defend both positions, I guess. I am in the Brits Raus camp, as you guys know. I think if this club wants to move, is serious about moving to the next level, there needs to be a cleanup, and I think Brits needs to be replaced. I think that's just my opinion.
By his daughter.
Yeah. But
it's the eternal Brits Raus question. I often agree with the Brits Raus shoutings, but it's not because I don't like Brits, but I also have sometimes the feeling indeed that he's, I don't know, I like him. Actually, I think he's a good guy and he means it very good with Hertha. Uh-huh. And I also understand that he often makes the impression that he is standing in the way for an evolution of the club. Yes. On the other side, I always think that that's maybe just that what we feel from the outside. I know don't mention the feelings. Do mention the feelings.
And do mention.
And don't mention the facts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a clear opinion about this. I have a lot to say, about this. I think he's good for the club, but I see also that he is he's evolving, and that's what he does now with Arne Friedrich, for example. I mean, he gives some competences away to Arne Friedrich, and then I think his plan is also to involve Peter Niemeyer when mm-hmm. that he's coming to the club in 1, 2, or maybe 3 years.
Okay.
I think he has a plan about this. He wants to get back a bit, then maybe go more into the general management and let the wild boys out, so to say. that's what I think. But yeah, he has not the best, in Germany you said Außenwahrnehmung, which is the
the way he projects himself, like a charisma or something, like I have the word in French, but I cannot think of a good one in English, like what he
how other people see him.
Yeah, the impression he gives, pretty much.
He doesn't project a good image to others. I mean, I can't think of a single word that would cover that, really. But
maybe he is he might be taking a little too much space inside the club as well. Maybe he's becoming too important in a way. And as you said, Marcus, maybe that is getting in the way of evolution for the club. That's also a possibility, you know. That's my point of view.
yeah. So basically, we have the same opinion, just different.
different ways of expressing the same opinion.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much an opinion I have on it, really. He's brought in some good people in the time, and I don't pretend to know about how he fits in with the dynamic within the club, and what influence he has on how the whole thing works. So I just don't know enough about that, really.
But what I'm wondering, he was the one who brought in Friedrich. Right? Mm-hmm. And he was the one who was talking about bringing back Niemeyer as well. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. that's it wasn't him who brought Lehman. Right. Mm-hmm. That was okay. No. That was another sector. Okay. No. Wasn't sure.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That was Windhorst. But he brought Klinsmann in. Already 14 years ago, because he was the one who offered to Klinsmann 14 years ago, like when there was the World Championship in Germany, he offered him a membership of honor within Hertha, because Klinsmann's father was a Hertha fan, and Klinsmann was a Hertha fan as well when he was a young kid. And so that's why there was this long-lasting contact. And actually, Klinsmann came to Windhorst through Fritz,
which makes
this whole story completely absurd because Klinsmann left because of Fritz, and that was just 3 months after Fritz actually got him into the trainer job, because this has been basically not the decision of Fritz, but Fritz initiated it also to get him as a coach. So this story is so weird. So in 3 months, like, Klinsmann completely flipped out.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We don't know. Like, maybe you think you know someone well until you work for them or with them, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe things got sour and beyond a certain point.
A good way of losing a friend is going on holiday with them. Perhaps it works the same, working with them as well sometimes. Who knows?
That's true. Yes, that's absolutely true. All right. So are we good with that question? I have two more questions. So
there's one from Sabina, actually, that was...
Okay.
Sabina.
Yeah, she was one that said about wanted to thank you for the podcast and what have you. She asked, I'm looking forward to Lucas Toussaint. Do you think he will fit in with the team? I'm really hoping so.
we talked about him a little bit earlier. She would come in the Grujic role, I think. And I'm absolutely looking forward to seeing how he will do.
I think yes. I mean, I have some special expectations about Toussaint, because he's a leader. That's what he's mm-hmm. known for. I think he's also captain in Lyon, or at least people talk.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, he's known to be a leader, and you know, if we lose Shelbred, we might lose Ibisevic. Stark is, I don't know, Stark has some kind of problem at the moment. Well, he doesn't play a role in a sportive way. So I actually, I have the expectation about Toussaint that he comes in and fills this Shelbred with this Ibisevic gap. Like just the way he is and the way he acts and interviews, even if I don't understand French, he's a character. Like, he's not just like a guy and do nice things, but he's a character, and that's something what our squad always missed, or isn't years. And we always have punctual some characters, but it doesn't really bring the team together, really. So that's, I really hope that. And
I mean, that's a really useful thing to have. Some, you know, like a really strong character that can pull people together and organize them when they need to be organized. So if he can fulfill that function. Because both Ibisevic and Shelbred, because Shelbred captained Norway, didn't he, for a spell? So,
I
mean, both players are quite strong in, you know, sort of slightly different ways. But, you know, you need to have some sort of backbone, if you like, in a team, you know, to give some sort of leadership out on the field. You know, you can have as good a manager as you like sitting on the bench, but they are sitting on the bench. He needs somebody out there on the field.
You mentioned being captain of Lyon. Maybe he was at some point, but right now it's Memphis Depay who is captain. But maybe they made the switch as soon as Toussaint signed with Hertha. I don't know, but
that's,
there you go.
I don't know. On which page are you looking?
Just Wikipedia, but maybe it wasn't the best way of knowing. But yeah, I mean, members of the Susan fan club can look it up and they will find the answer, I'm sure. I do have another question. Josh from the WhatsApp group and fellow Canadian. Josh, hi. Mm-hmm. The new investment, influx of money I mentioned earlier, was it 150 million, I think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The question is, what about the new investment and how the 50+1 rule fits into it? Are there any concerns? Are we selling out? Would it bring success to the club?
It's
a big question. It's a vast question.
Yeah. Well, first, it fits into the 50+1 rule in that terms that it's not breaking the 50+1 rule. It is, what I'm going to tell, it's not super precise, but it's more or less like this, that the club mm-hmm. has owns a company. This company is, well, it's not a company, but it's like some kind of legal construct, which is something between club and company. So Hertha BSC as a club owns this company for 100%. So if somebody in this company, there are the players, like the football part, like in the players, the licensed players, they are part of this company within the club. So if somebody can buy 100% of this company and still does not own more than 50% of the club itself. So that's okay. It's not super precise, and I'm not very good at these things, but it's more or less.
The club is one part of it all, which is where the 50+1 rule applies. But the actual players are a separate sort of legal construct, which people can sort of buy into, like sort of endorsed or what have you. They can buy into that. They can own whatever proportion of that they like, but that's not the club as such, which I always think is a bit of a, I mean, it's quite a few clubs in the Bundesliga that have done this, that have sort of separated away the club and the actual sort of professional team as sort of two separate things. I think it's sort of, I wouldn't say it's a common thing, but it's certainly been done by several other teams. So it's sort of muddies the water a little bit where, you know, the club has to be owned at least, you know, 51%, if you like, by the fans and such like. But the players, the actual sort of professional team, is something else. These guys aren't buying into the sort of, you know, the boxing club part of Hertha or the table tennis part of Hertha. They're just after the Bundesliga.
But we were talking about this on the WhatsApp group again, and Selecta this time mentions the name of the company. The company is called Tenor, right? Mm-hmm. T-E-N-O-R. He says Tenor is buying more shares of Hertha and will have 66%. This, however, is not of Hertha, but it's another company that they can sell shares of. It's a weird construct, but other clubs like Dortmund, like you said, Simon, mm-hmm. Dortmund, Gladbach have the same financial setup. Blah, 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 blah. However, in practice, if he's got more than about 45% of the vote, he effectively controls the club, because the only way to counter any of his decisions would be to get nearly every other voting member to unify against him. And it's not really possible to get that many people to agree on anything. he only needs, which is absolutely true, he only needs for a few other people to either side with him, abstain, or go in a third direction, and he gets his way every time. I suppose if he tried something truly egregious, then the other 51% might actually unify against him. So he is not in absolute control. Yes. So that's a good explanation. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Lucas was explaining the second part that I said, but the first part was Selecta. And so, thank you both. Yeah. I mean, money is good. I would rather have money and not need it than the other way around. And the thing is, when Windhorst, he likes big names, you know, like Lehmann and, you know, Klinsmann and other people like that. My worry, and I don't know if it's a worry yet, but my possible concern within the next few years might be that we might turn into, you know, a ship Galacticos. You know, like a, yeah. I hope it doesn't come to that, but who knows.
Yeah, I mean, and Windthorst said this doesn't have to be the end of his financial inputs. No? So that's what he keeps saying. So it's not.
There might be even more coming in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not this season, but you know, like if we're not doing good in 2 years.
Okay.
He already announced like he wants to be successful with Hertha. So like if Hertha doesn't get successful with these 380 or what do we have by now? Then he will also give them more.
Close to that, yeah.
I mean,
as long as they can't necessarily sort of buy their way through to success, it's you know, you can get hold of a good player, like a really good player, bring them in, and then they just suddenly miraculously become rubbish because they've. Yeah, they've arrived here and they don't fit in, and or they just give up. I mean, I've seen it happen in other clubs where you've had good players that have been brought in and then they just flop when they come to the new one. So
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, just sort of thinking of players. You know, sort of, sorry, Patrick, for bringing up the subject of Liverpool again, but here, take a player like Torres. Being sort of taken out, and then you know he leaves, and then he's hopeless. when he's brought into Chelsea in England, he don't really want to go down that route. It's it's not good for the club. It's not good for anybody really.
And it's not good for the long term health, as you say, of the club. And it's if enough teams get into that arms race. It can throw the entire league out of balance. Like look what's happening in England, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's just out of hand. I mean, a nicer model is what's happened in Dortmund to extent. Sort of bringing in, young players, from England or whatever. And people like Sancho. I mean, he's done amazing things there. You know, a young dynamic player, great stuff. He sort of came from being almost sort of like nothing, and he's doing remarkable things there now.
He was at Manchester City, similar. I think. Yeah, that's true. Haaland, I forgot where he was from, but Sancho came from Manchester City, I think. Mm. And I think they didn't have any room for him, basically. And,
it was a fantastic move for him.
He's, now Dortmund. Dortmund is going to sell him for almost $100 million almost. Well, that's quite a good piece of business, you know.
Yeah.
But I think maybe also we also need to mention Leipzig, of course, because Leipzig also has this strategy. Like,
do we have to?
Well, Leipzig is a beautiful city. And
sorry about the club. Okay
with Vodka. Beautiful city. Emphasis on city, not club. City. But I think you're right, Marcos, actually, because don't they have a policy of not signing anyone over 25 years old or something?
Exactly, yeah. And they don't pay huge salaries, so they have a salary cap within the team as well, so they are actually, I don't like Red Bull and I don't like this construct as well, but they do actually good things with the money, so they they have more money than we will ever have, because even with the Windhorst millions, well, like we're not like it's not so much money as Leipzig has, but I think. And that's what I like about Preetz again. Like, I think Preetz is not the guy who has now these 380 millions and spends them like with names like Draxler or Götze or these things. But I think he is really the guy who gets the young talents. But I think now with his money, we can get young talents from a higher shelf. You know, before we had but now we get a different shelf. But I still think we should rely on talents, and I believe Preetz will do that. He's this kind of guy, I guess. That's what I like again about him. So that's why I'm not really a house person. I'm a 4-2-3-1 person, you know.
And I'm a dog person.
Yes, of course. But, there could be a title there, I think. Marcus is 4-3-2.
Yeah, that works. But no, I know. Actually, it's a very good point that you bring, Marcos. Preetz, despite his faults, has been smart with his investments so far, with his signings so far.
He's done some very good things, hasn't he, over the last sort of few years.
That's true, absolutely. So that's why if he stayed, I wouldn't anything. What? Yeah, you know, I wouldn't go insane. I think it might be better to move on, but you know, it's not. I'm not gonna die on that hill. You know, I don't care that much about him staying or not. And also, I was bringing the Vinhorst money because Ed Zelaski from the WhatsApp group again. Hello, Ed. He said, mentioned something that, and it was a really good point because I didn't know about it. And then I looked it up and it's absolutely, I hope, I mean, it probably won't happen with Hertha, but Ed mentions, does that still limit his vote to 49% anyway? And Ed says, I believe so. It's what Isnaik was fighting at 1860. Bayern 1860, the second division club in Munich. I looked it up.
Second division? I think they're fourth division now.
Definitely went down to third.
No, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right because I was going to mention something. At the end of this 2016-17 season, TSV 1860 Munich were relegated to the third tier of German football following a playoff defeat against Jan Regensburg. Unable to resolve his differences with club officials regarding his control of the club, Isnaik refused to provide the approximately 10 million euros necessary for a third Liga playing license, and the club was automatically relegated to the fourth division. Isnaik remains in control still. That's fucked up. And he can do what he wants with the club, you know? He doesn't pay, so they get relegated to another division. That sucks. That's not going to happen with Hertha, but, you know. Let's pump the brakes here.
Well, theoretically, it can also happen with Hertha, but I think like the 1860 Munich, like 1860, it's a stupid name. They have really bad luck with this investor, and I think everything what happens there is like, and Windhorst, I don't think that he's, but you know, Windhorst is a businessman, and that makes him a bit different. Like he wants to do this irrational, strange, narcissistic moves as the guy, as Isnaik did with Munich. At least I hope. I don't expect that from Windhorst, but like for our readers, maybe who know German, there has been in Rasenfunk, which is one of the major Bundesliga podcasts in Germany, there has been an episode with the guys from Hertha Base, and they talked about the Windhorst millions, and that has been a very, very good podcast segment where they were talking about scenarios which can happen when you have a guy like Windhorst in there. And there was actually, like, everything is fine as long as Gegenbauer is there, Ingo Schiller is there, and Windhorst is there, and we have some kind of success. But at the moment, you know, like, Gegenbauer is already, like, he's 120 or so, or almost, my 3 years. And, you know, like, I like Gegenbauer, he's I think he's important, and he's the patriarch in a positive sense of Hertha, but like he will step back maybe in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and then Ingo Schiller is a bit younger, but still, you know, like sooner or later something might change just because like members vote him away. I mean, the club is still owned by the members, so if all the Windhorst friends will leave the club and then some Windhorst enemies are presidents of the club and general managers and so, and this connection on this board level is disturbed, then what happens then? You know, like then Windhorst, he doesn't trust them anymore. He wants money back, and he starts to do shitty things.
And then the
situation. Exactly. And then the players always react very sensitive on Störgeräusche outside the club, you know, like noises outside the club. And like what happens with Schalke now. Schalke basically is all these side effects with Tönnies and Corona and the money and everything. Like that's why people blame that the Schalke is doing so bad in the second half of the season. And yeah, that can happen. But in this podcast segment, they spoke really extensively about it, and they had very good points. What I just don't hope it's going to happen.
Okay,
that sounded all very bad.
That's but as long as, no, go
as
ahead.
Long as it's good, it's good. As long as it's good, it's good.
Yes, basically, yes. And that's true of many
things. It's good until it's not.
Yes, exactly. And that's the kind of insight people are listening to us for.
Exactly.
I think that was it for my listener questions. I don't know if you guys have any other stuff. Or yes, no, maybe.
I don't think there was any more.
All right.
Just frantically looking at Twitter.
Oh yeah, there was a little something I forgot to mention when earlier we were talking about the talking points. All this, this pandemic and this Corona situation and all that. In a sense, it probably turned out to be for the best for Hertha, because without any Corona and without any break, maybe they would have kept Klinsmann longer. Maybe we would have been in a relegation fight, because we were really playing like shit under Klinsmann or Nuri. Actually, there wasn't much of an improvement, and Union would have finished above us. That's
yeah.
true.
That's it was true. Quite close anyway, as well. It turned out. But.
Yeah. True. So, I mean, I don't.
Bit of a break and what have you, when sort of Labbadia came in, you know, may well have worked to our advantage. They certainly sort of came out quite well.
Yeah, for sure.
Afterwards,
for sure.
How much it helped, who knows? But it appeared like it.
Yeah, because I mean, they were. It really looked like they had no idea what they were doing. Before the, you know, with Klinsmann and Nuri, they were like running around and not knowing what to do, pretty much, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, COVID sucks, but that little small part of the Hertha season, that was a good thing. So let's say that.
Even by Hertha standards, this has been a blimmin' weird season. It really has. You know, what
roller coaster.
It was all the ups and downs and all the managers, and then, you know, got shut down because of COVID-19, and then we came back and we started winning a few games, and I mean that was pretty weird in itself.
Yes. that's unusual. What is this feeling? I don't want to kill myself after every game now.
Who's this team? Where's my club gone?
Yeah, exactly.
But
who is this bunch of imposters who actually know how to play? What's going on?
They can play. What are they doing wearing Hertha shirts?
Exactly. Jesus.
Oh, there's one topic maybe we should talk about or mention at least, because we don't know so much yet. It's Turbine Potsdam.
Hertha
started a cooperation with Turbine Potsdam. Turbine Potsdam is one of the most elaborated, most successful in history of women's football clubs. And they're not Berlin, but they're Potsdam, and Potsdam is like Versailles of in Paris.
Suburbs.
Well, suburbia.
Well, it's beautiful Baroque architecture. That's Potsdam is known for. For
and Turbine
Potsdam
nice,
is it is absolutely It's more beautiful than Berlin, actually, but they're different.
Many sectors. Yes.
Exactly. Turbine Potsdam is one of the East, like GDR football. Well, I'm not prepared for this. There's of course for sure a lot to talk about them because they have been very successful also in the GDR, and mm-hmm. they're the only club, the only women's club who actually survived all this and is still very top-notch football teams. They did not so good the last 3-4 years anymore because like Wolfsburg, Bayern and also Hoffenheim, I think they invested a lot in women's football. And now we, like Hertha has a 3 years partnership, a cooperation with them. Hertha, Sofian Cahit, like one of our former players. And I think Cahit was a U15 coach of Hertha. I think
U something.
And he's now the coach of Turbine Potsdam.
Oh, nice.
And I don't know how much money we put in that, but it's secret, but we give the money, basically.
Is this in place of Hertha having a women's team as a club themselves? Is it sort of a way of opening that door?
It might be. It is a topic within the fans. We Hertha. we had a long time cooperation with the FC Lübars. And Lübars is a very small quarter in the north of Berlin, and they had it's a team. They have a men division and a women's division, and the women division they were supported by us, like also financially, and we gave them wore our jerseys and so, and they were in the second women Bundesliga, and they were the first ones, and they would have relegated into the first Bundesliga, but then Hertha took off the money. And I heard now in like just a few days ago when we discussed this topic again in the Axel Kruse Jugend chat that apparently there was because FC Lübars also had a men division, and they wanted to take money away from the women and use it for the men division,
right.
And that Hertha didn't want to do that, and then there was like
that's a shitty thing to do.
Problems on manager level, so they stopped cooperation, and now they do it with Turbine Potsdam. But it's always a topic coming up, like also like on almost on every Mitgliederversammlung. How do you call it?
Members general meeting sort of thing.
Yes. Assembly. Don't you call it assembly? Members assembly.
Yeah.
Every year on the members assembly this question comes up, and then this year Klaus he asked the question again, so what are the plans, why not continue with FC Lübars and so, and then actually Gegenbauer, he said something very interesting. I think I said it also on this podcast that they want to put more energy in the social things they like they Hertha want to put more energy and more financial, more support into social values, which are important for the club. And women's football is one of them. But he was very vague about this. But it was a statement that they want to do good things. And so now like this cooperation with Turbine Potsdam was announced. I don't know. I mean, I will go there with my blue-white jersey, and also we thought about like going there as Axel Kruse Jugend to cheer, because they are our girls now.
Markus the pimp, look out!
Even more fun than me.
He's going to drive up there in his Cadillac with his furry dashboard.
Exactly. And his fur coat. And a giant hat, massive sunglasses, and a cane with a diamond on top of it, you know?
Okay.
Sorry.
Got a bit carried away there.
But do we have an episode title now?
4-2-3-1.
Yeah, okay. Markus the pimp.
No.
All right.
I better don't tell you what I do in my real job. So another time, when the mic is off.
If it involves a fur coat, we don't want to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you don't want to.
But no, actually, it's I wanted to ask you about it, Marcus, Turbine Potsdam, and it slipped my mind, and I focused on question. But yeah, thank you for mentioning it. It's really good news. And actually, I was surprised when I read about that news that Hertha doesn't have an official women's team. Like I know that Arsenal does, Manchester City does, Liverpool does. You mentioned Hoffenheim, Bayern, and another one. Yeah, that's it. I don't know why they don't have a Hertha women's team. I mean, it would be
it's like Marcus said. I mean, I've been to a couple of those sort of members assemblies. I mean, I didn't really know what was going on most of the time, to be quite honest. But I mean, I gather that was brought up a couple of times. When I went, I only went there for the sausages myself. But
sure.
yeah,
I mean, still one thing I find it a bit strange. One good thing is Turbine Potsdam wears blue and white as well, or at least kind of, at least what I understood. So, but I find it a bit pity because like Hertha doesn't basically have something from it. Because like the whole branding is Turbine Potsdam, and Turbine Potsdam is already such a beautiful and important thing that you shouldn't patronize Turbine Potsdam, because it's a complete own thing and it works good. On the other side, if Hertha will do that on its own to create such a football club, probably it will Turbine Potsdam will suffer from it, because Hertha has more money to establish something like this. So then you take all the I won't say beautiful girls, no, all the good girls, football playing girls. No, sorry, this wasn't meant sexistic, more as a joke. Yeah. Sorry, cut it out if it's
no, it's fine.
Oh, it's fine.
It's not a problem. But now you're right. Actually, if there are teams are existing, why not work with them instead of against them? And it's not like Hertha needs the money anyway, you know. Mm. So,
well, as long as it's going into the women's game, it seems to makes a lot of sense to me, actually, to get to support a nearby old traditional club like that. I think that's quite a good solution. Yeah.
And I mean, I know that our listeners probably know that already, but Potsdam was in East Germany. It's worth mentioning. Yeah. So, it's like you said, Marcus, it's interesting that a former DDR club survives to this day, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had for many, many years, I think 20 or so years, they had one very charismatic coach who coached this team, basically. And he's also like a very old-fashioned guy with a beard like Simon, or no, he didn't have a beard, but like white like Simon.
Okay.
And now Sofia and Chahed, yeah.
Okay. So any closing thoughts or?
Yeah, Werder Bremen against Heidenheim, it's still 0-0.
Oh, yeah, it's
relegation playoff. But the games.
I forgot all about that.
Where? How far is it in the game? Is it early still?
67th minute.
Okay.
It shows on the zone. I don't know if that's the case in you as well.
I do have the zone, but I don't have Bundesliga rights for it.
I'm so happy that we don't play relegation playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
After when we were relegated against Düsseldorf.
Oh, that was horrible. That was
like that was the most horrible time experience in my fan life I ever had. And then the next years, I always went to the pub to watch relegation games, get drunk, and just think, oh, I do not care. I do not care.
it's not me.
It's not me. Yeah.
Actually, it's a good. I mean, it's a good thing in a we finally get our revenge. Way that Düsseldorf is getting relegated this season.
Yeah. Going down.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually,
don't bother coming back up.
Actually, Axel Kruse, yeah, you probably don't listen to the German podcast, right? But Axel Kruse has is a guest, like he's permanent guest in a Berlin podcast called Hauptstadt Derby. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the guests, and he is a Hertha legend, and then there's another guest, he's an Union legend, he's another guy, and they always and there's a moderator as well, but then after every game, and Axel Kruse is really and they're fighting, so sometimes very, very funny as well, but it's a bit fun. But then he's, if Union is winning against Fortuna Düsseldorf, if Union shoots Düsseldorf into the second league, then Axel Kruse is running around for one whole day with the Union hat on, and he had to do so.
Yeah,
I haven't seen pictures online yet, but this was then Union did. Yeah,
that's a risky.
Someone pay for that hat. So
he said it. Now he's got to do it.
Yeah, if you say something like that, you've got to knuckle down and do it.
You got to walk your talk.
Indeed, indeed.
All right, so that's it for us.
Do we have a wrap?
We do.
All done. Yeah. Until the next time.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Simon. And you guys have to be here next week for the quiz, right?
I don't know anything.
I'm sorry?
I don't know anything.
Are these questions about feelings?
not this time. Not this time. Jan actually asked me to focus, create more questions about Hertha specifically. So yeah, we will have more Hertha questions. We will have a few more about other things, but most of it, I think... half of it, maybe a bit more, is about Hertha. So it should be more Hertha focused.
So you want to record it as podcast as well, right?
Yeah, we can do a separate episode with it. I think it's about the same length as the previous quiz. So maybe 45 minutes overall. So I think it would work well as a standard separate episode.
Yes, a standalone kind of.
Yes.
With jingles, right?
Oh yeah, I got my sound effects ready. Yeah, look out. You fail. You suck. All right.
Right, on that cheery note.
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye.
It's been very nice talking to you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Oh yeah, God, we can't forget about that. And I realized I was still recording, and I haven't ended the meeting yet. So I I forgot.
Hertha BSC.
Yes. Hold on.
Okay, so we are.
Bye bye.
All right.
Bye bye.